Blog Talk Radio.
You have no idea what you got involved with. You have no idea who you're messing with.
Might
you
not.
Have no idea. Congratulations.
Y'all better tune in to Monday nights after Raw. To the only show doing a recap when it goes off. You know how Mondays go. Watch it Raw first.
Can we get a new theme song already, please? Welcome, welcome, welcome. Perfect Plex Talk Radio is in the building. The night after WWE Extreme Rules, we shall get extreme this evening. 347-637-3859. My name is Mike Knox. I'm the CEO. I spell it with three X's. Cause I'm hardcore. You want to find out? Ask that whore that you dated. I am joined as always by nobody other than the person that runs the VIP. He don't need your damn ID. Well, you do, but he don't. He's from Brooklyn. What's going on, Spot Prince?
What's going on? Live from the VIP. Happy hours in effect. We got the Ciroc popping. We got the chicks looking nice, coming straight from work, making it twerk. What's good, Knox?
I am getting ready for today's show. We got a big show for you guys today, as always. It's the night after pay-per-view. And Spot, all I was getting was, are you guys going to have a show? Are you guys going to have a show? And I'm like, no. So we're here today. We got a show today, not last night. So we're going to give them a little extreme rules. You know, what we thought about the pay-per-view, what we see coming next in the pay-per-view, what you thought about the pay-per-view, 347-637-3859. Then we got a special guest, one of the biggest for me, maybe for y'all, but I'm talking for me now. I'm marking out today because growing up as a child, before I even thought about being in this business, once I got in this business, today's guest spot is somebody I've been really dying to interview. I'm kind of a huge fan of his early work. You know, I'm going to talk to him about his later work. Hope you guys call in and talk to him about what you want to talk to him about. But we're going to be joined by the first ever African-American. Forget that. We're going to be joined by the first black intercontinental champion, Ahmed Johnson, spot face.
Yeah, I can't wait for that one. I'm looking forward to talking. I'm looking forward to asking these
I'm
questions.
Sorry, I'm did you say I'm looking forward to talking?
No, I said talking. You know what? I'm sipping on what I'm sipping on, so I might be tripping on these words a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's going to be a great interview. Looking forward to it. About to make groundbreaking history like we always do here at Perfect Place Talk Radio. Man, I can't wait.
Well, as always, people, we cannot talk about what's going on in the world of professional wrestling if your ass don't have no history. So, just frankly, we got my man Chad Rivera. He comes by. He does the history for y'all. So y'all know what's going on. So sit back, get some history. We'll be right back. Perfect Plex Talk Radio, 347-637-3859. Chad, I know you're not as monotone. Well, you're monotone more than I am hype right now. But give us some history. And this show is dedicated to the macho man, Randy Savage. And to my baby brother, shout out to Real Talk, Mr. Main Event Brian Waters, graduating Morgan State University with honors with the HSBCU, getting his bachelor's and arts degree. You are a true inspiration to people out there everywhere, Mr. Main Event. This show's for you as well. But Jack, give him that history.
This week in wrestling history, May 20th through May 26th. Last year on May 20th, the WWE held Over the Limit at the PNC Arena in Raleigh, North Carolina. On this event, we saw Kofi Kingston and R-Truth retain their WWE World Tag Team titles, defeating Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger with Vicky Guerrero. Sheamus retained his World Heavyweight Championship, defeating Alberto Del Rio with Ricardo Rodriguez, Randy Orton, and Chris Jericho in a Fatal 4-Way match. Christian defeated Cody Rhodes to become the new WWE Intercontinental Champion. CM Punk retained his WWE title, defeating Daniel Bryan. And in the main event, John Laurinaitis defeated John Cena in a no disqualification match with help from The Big Show. WCW Slamboree took place on May 21, 1995, from the Bayfront Arena in St. Petersburg, Florida. On the event, we saw the Nasty Boys defeat Harlem Heat to win the WCW World Tag Team Championship. The Great Muta defeated Paul Orndorff to retain the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. Arn Anderson defeated Alex Wright to retain the WCW World Television Championship. Sting defeated Big Bubba Rogers in a Lights Out match. And in the main event, Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage with Jimmy Hart and the Renegade defeated Ric Flair and Vader with Arn Anderson. The WWF presented In Your House 8 Beware of Dog Night 1 on May 26, 1996 from the Florence Civic Center in Florence, South Carolina. On the card, we saw Wild Man Mark Mero with Sable defeat Hunter Hearst Helmsley. Savio Vega defeated Steve Austin with Ted DiBiase in a Caribbean strap match. Yokozuna defeated Vader with Jim Cornette. Goldust with Marlena retained his WWF Intercontinental title, defeating The Undertaker with Paul Bearer in a casket match after interference from Mankind. Jake the Snake Roberts defeated Justin Hawk Bradshaw with Uncle Zebekiah. And in the main event, Shawn Michaels with Jose Lothario fought the British Bulldog with Owen Hart, Diana Smith, and Clarence Mason to a no contest in a match for the WWF Championship. Notable birthdays this week in wrestling: the Road Dog, Jesse James, turns 44, Mr. T turns 61, Kota Iwabushi turns 31, Luchador Halloween turns 42, A1 turns 36, Tracy Brooks turns 38, Daniel Bryan turns 32, WWE Hall of Famer Drew Carey turns 55, Super Dragon turns 38, Alex Shelley turns 30, Bray Wyatt turns 26, Frenchie Martin turns 63, Alberto Del Rio turns 36, the Pope D'Angelo De Niro turns 35, one half of the new WWE Tag Team Champions Roman Reigns turns 28, Messias turns 38, Simon Diamond turns 45, and Ashley Massaro turns 34. Notable deaths this week in wrestling: Macho Man Randy Savage passed away on May 20, 2011 after suffering a sudden heart attack while driving. He was 58 years old. Owen Hart tragically passed away after a freak accident on May 23, 1999. He was 34 years old. And Vincent J. McMahon passed away on May 24, 1984 after suffering pancreatic cancer. He was 69 years old. Mike and Spot, I'll see you later, but for right now, that's been your week in wrestling history. So Mike Knox, back to you.
What's up, everybody? This is the Ace of Belts, Dave Milliken, WWE Championship Beltmaker, and you're listening to the BDSR Network with Mike Knox and the crew.
Let's just say I'm Bob, and I am the stub, and the girls just can't get enough. And you're listening to the BDSIR Network with Mike Knox and the crew. I said that's right, BDSIR Network with Mike Knox and the crew. And I'm buff, and I am the stub. And if you don't listen, I'm going to show you how much it's buff. Buff can tell.
That's right. Y'all hear the music. You know the excellence. When that music drops, you just think about if Miss Elizabeth's going to drop her top. I know. I'm sorry. Rest in peace. I thought it as a kid, Spot Face. I thought it. I just said, okay, here come Macho Man, but damn, here come Miss Elizabeth. What's going on, Spot? We back.
Yo, man, I ain't going front. The Macho Man was one of the greatest of all time. I love the outfit. Like, you know, the robe, the cape. Like, the whole entrance attire, even when he was the Macho King, I was still a fan of the gear, because we all were fans of his in-ring work, and if you wasn't, please, don't be a friend of mine.
Don't be a friend of mine. 347-637-3859. We are also of the genius himself, KMP, getting California hot and ready for Mike Knox when he makes his debut into the Sunshine State. Is that the Sunshine State? Either way, it's got a lot of girls out there with long legs, and they got the silicone breast valley sluts is what they said on Entourage. My wife said I can't help find any of that. But we're talking wrestling, KMP. Last night, Extreme Rules. Macho Man knew a little about being extreme before extreme was actually, you know, called extreme in wrestling. But last night, the pay-per-view went down. Honestly, I thought it was a good pay-per-view, but let me go ahead and give you guys the winners real fast and the losers. I apologize for that. big card last. A lot of people had complaints that John Cena, he retained via no contest, but there's some controversy there. Ryback did get up at the end when Cena never got up. He refused to take, you know, medical help. He walked himself into the ambulance. Then we had the game. Triple H himself continued to beat Brock Lesnar at whatever it is Brock Lesnar likes to do against Triple H. Yes, he booked himself in the main event. Most importantly, it was a bad night for the African-American wrestlers as Kofi Kingston lost his U.S. title, but we saw that coming. And as Team Hell No, you are no longer the tag team champions of the world. The Shield, believe in it, has taken up all the gold. Mark Henry loses to Sheamus, but Randy Orton brings the Punk to the Head back. He beats the Big Show, and that's about all. But real fast, little side note from last night, just a little bit. KME, I'm not sure what part of the show you got to check out. Do you see how they're trying to go UFC with the pre-show and the post-show in the arena?
Yeah, I guess they're just trying to, like, you know, make sure their content is everywhere it could be, which is, you know, I'm not a fan of an oversaturation, but, I mean, if, you know, they're going to do what they want to do as long as they're making money, and they're going to keep doing it. I'm sure if it starts costing them money, they'll stop doing it.
Well, I like the spin on it, Spot Face. You did not have an opportunity, I believe, to watch the pre or the post game, which was on the WWE app, by the way. New way to watch television, they're calling it. But overall, I got to be honest with you guys. I didn't watch the last two matches until this afternoon. But live, I watched it, and I was impressed with especially the Shield. And not just because the Shield won, just how they won. They kind of both won clean, even though one was a tornado tag. There was no outside interference. They walked away when Dean Ambrose, which, you know, I'm an Ambrose guy, came down to take on Kofi Kingston. But overall, I mean, I wasn't a big fan of the finish between Mark Henry and Sheamus. But actually, I loved the finish between Cena and Ryback. I thought it was great how Cena wins the title. Ryback stays the monster, but yet doesn't win the title, but yet brings controversy, still keeping him strong. Spot Face, what did you get from the pay-per-view and what you probably wrote in the synopsis?
Well, you know me. The first thing that comes to my attention is your boy main eventing over the title, but I digress. I do like, you know, the Young Blood getting that opportunity as the Shield, you know, being separate instead of six-man tags like they've been accustomed to on pay-per-views for so long that they actually had individual matches. The outcome of those matches, I have problems with it, but we'll get into that later.
Right, no. Well, I want to stop you right there if I can to put a quarter in the meter because King Vaughn, shout out King Vaughn, great writer. He put it was a great night for WWE because of the that's different for the WWE. A lot of people spot does feel like you. What does it do for their mid card? I say those belts wasn't doing nothing anyway. So it actually maybe now those belts can become relevant. Cammy, what do you think about that and some of that talking that's been going back and forth with the Shield winning the titles and then also flanking the mid-card?
You know, I have to see what they're going to do. I don't get excited about any of that. I mean, dude won the U.S. title. Whoopee. Let's throw a party. They won the tag titles. Wow. Does that mean they're going to be pushed? I got to see what they do before they don't get the benefit of the doubt from me.
But haven't they already been getting pushed?
They have to sustain. Look, that company has a weird way of once you get the titles, especially like the U.S. and the IC titles, like once you get the title, you start losing. Like, look at Cesaro. He was winning before he got the U.S. title.
But he was a U.S. title joke.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Before he won it, he was winning all his matches.
I know that he was winning, but he was a gimmick. He was a comic relief winner, is what I'm saying.
They turned him into that once he won the title, once he won it. How do you know that these guys won it? Yeah, how do you know these guys won't turn into comic relief?
All right, let me slow down. Wait a minute. Let me throw some pimpin' in it. What's my name, Spot? What's my name?
Big Daddy Knox.
All right. Now, that's my name. Right. Okay, y'all know what he said. It's three X's, extra, whatever. Check it. This is what's going on, guys. What is there is nothing that you can say right now to make us say they're not going to push the Shield, because the Shield has been getting pushed.
They didn't need it.
I didn't say I'm not arguing. I'm not arguing whether they need it or not. I'm not arguing whether they need it or not.
I've seen plenty of pushes that have lasted longer than once, and then they just stop. All I'm saying is they're not getting the benefit of the doubt from me, because I've just seen this movie way too many times
before.
I have to see them with the titles before I pass final judgment. I'm not saying that they're going to flop, but I'm definitely not going to say they're going to do good with those belts until I actually see it with my own eyes.
Okay, all I'm saying is that you're like one of the worst fans. Because you gotta hold out hope for something, if not that. 347-637-3859. I think we got a call coming in. I think that's his number. My eyes are blurry right now. I'm doing other things. 443, yeah, this is him. Mr. Graduating with Honors, Mr. Main Event Brian Waters joining the network here this afternoon. What you think about the pay per view in the comments from the crew here?
Well, what's going on, the crew, the network over there, BDSIR, number one talk show on Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, congratulations, Brian, for the diploma, man. That's real cool.
Thank you. Now, you know, I'm sitting here listening. I heard the term, they don't need the belt. And I got to disagree. You know, champion means you are at the top of your game or, you know, I'm saying, play on the words of baseball, the top of your division. Right now, the hottest tag team in the WWE, the top of the division, is Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. As far as the mid-card concerned, I mean, you can make an argument. That's a different time for a different day as whether the IC title or the U.S. title was the top of the mid-card. But in this situation, I'd like to call my man Dean Ambrose the top of the mid-card right now. So I'm glad that they won the titles. And to me, without a shadow of a doubt, those were my favorite parts of the pay-per-view. I mean, I thought the Lesnar-Triple H match, it started off, I didn't want to see it, but it started off good. Didn't like the ending, personal reasons. But I really liked John Cena and Ryback's match. I just, you know, I understand why it was no contest, I guess, so to speak. But I really enjoyed Randy Orton being on his game last night.
You know what? And I've been clamoring for Randy Orton since last year's WrestleMania match against Kane. His matches are always on. It's just
let me say something.
It's like watching that good looking paint. But you're like, man, that's a great color I picked out, but damn, it's just paint.
First of all, B Dub, congratulations on graduating. That's a great thing right there, brother.
Thank you.
This the mid card title is the world title. First and foremost, when it comes to that company. But you can't sit there and say that Dean Ambrose deserves the United States Championship when you
no,
got
not at all. I would never say. I don't think. I think you were talking about that earlier. And I told you to hold it off, and you thought I was going to go against you. I'm not going against that philosophy of it being too soon. I do think it's too soon because even though it was a very slow behind the scenes build with both titles, because it was built, you just didn't watch it. But it's been built for 5 weeks with these guys going back and forth and those six competitors. But, you know, tomato, it's not hurting the titles. It only helps the titles.
My problem was he said that giving the title means the guy's on the top of their game. I'm a Wade Barrett fan. Barrett ain't at the top of his game. Zack Ryder was the United States champion. He ain't been at the top of his game.
I'm not a Ryder fan. I'm not a Ryder fan. But the time they gave it to him, he was.
I was trying
to give a nice one in there. Y'all wouldn't let me. It's not many times. I you know, come on. 347-637-3859.
It's not the time to be nice.
But the thing is, though, right now the Shield is must-see TV. So you put that.
But they don't need the titles. They already must-see TV without having
hold on. Not so. Come on, guys. Little diplomacy here. Go ahead.
They help the belt.
I think it helps them out if they do what's right with them. I still have to see that. I'm waiting to see what's next. You know,
I get what you're saying, because that's what you're saying. You're saying they've done it to me too many times. I reserve the right to see more. Me and Brian are saying we see the propellion of the belts being, you know, put them in a better spotlight now that the show, who is must-see TV, has the belts. And spot, I typically don't agree with yourself at this moment. You're looking for guys that we both love, the Cody Roses, the Sami and Sindals.
No,
for whatever reason,
Who are you?
Right, to say who deserves what? Because I always say this much: whether we like it or don't like it, the guys that are being pushed currently are the guys that deserve it, because they're the ones that are being pushed. Some may say, and then it does open, you know, for other people like Vandego, but he do deserve that spot. I give you that one. But the show has been doing everything. They've been around. They've paid their dues. Most of these guys are from other companies that paid their dues. So besides, you know, with less fanfare is Roman Reigns to a lesser extent over the other two. But it doesn't discredit anything. If anything, it speaks poorly against Kofi Kingston, which means he clearly won the belt to be a segue guy from Antonio Cesaro for Dean Ambrose. That's what I got out of that moment last night in that pay-per-view, is that, okay, Kofi just grabbed that belt so that Dean could beat it from him, and they wouldn't have two heels going against each other. That's what that did. 7-6-3-7-3-8-5. Now, we got a call from Rock and Reese from 215. What's going on, Reese? They still getting on Michael Vick and Donovan McNabb in Philadelphia. I can't make it all kiss my ass. What's going on, Reese?
Yeah, what's good, everybody?
I'm sorry. Are you on the avenue right now?
I was just sat on the road, but it's just like, I don't know what's going on. It's like, for once everybody's up in rush hour for a change. I was like, damn, everybody out enjoying a nice day out here in Philly for a change. I said, I'll be damned. It was like raining all weekend, so they make it up for lost time.
When has rush hour been any other different in 95 in Philadelphia area? But Extreme Rules, where do you lie with this whole Shield situation? Be the camera to break the straw back, if you will, so to speak.
Yeah, I have to admit, I think it's a brilliant move, because the Shield, ever since they've come in, they may not agree with it, but they have made noise. Look at who they have targeted and taken out. John Cena, they took down The Rock, they took down The Undertaker of all people. Kane, Big Show, Sheamus, all the world champions, the top of the card. Now it's like, what more can they... Yeah, and now that you gave them the tag team title and the U.S. title, I say, if anything, now this is a win-win situation if WWE doesn't mess this up.
Again, you know what? I echo your sentiments. Hold on, Rock and Reese. You got a lot of feedback in the back. I truly do understand KB's point, because his point's more credible than WWE as far as making us enjoy a product right now and doing the right thing. I give you that much. But I'm like you, Reese. I do reserve the right to think they can one day come along and fix something. 347-637-3859. I want to get a little bit into, if I can, real bad, to step aside from Extreme Rules. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. But just give the world of Mark-isms. Definitely today, Paul Heyman tweets out, could there be a new client? The news broke and it said, hashtag breaking news, at WWE, hashtag, well, a new Paul Heyman guy, question mark. At Brock Lesnar, ex CM Punk. Spotface, are you ready to see a new client? Could that new client be the Shield?
No, weren't they already hired guns already? I would think that was happening.
I'm just saying. Go ahead.
I would love for it to be a Cody Rhodes, somebody that needs something different, you know, for them in the back, somebody that needs that position. Hell, I would love for it to be a Swagger, if anything. Like, there's so many guys back there that need a rub, you know, to get some attention on TV or in ring, that, you know, I would love to see a new Heyman guy. You know, I told you I want a Heyman family, like the Heenan family. I would love that.
You've been asking for that one for a couple of weeks now. 347-637-3859.
Remember, the part-time players, people, they are wrestlers. They do have talent.
Hey, if you're a wrestler, If you'd have watched the pre-show, your boy Big Titus O'Neil was in the pre-show, him and your boy Wade Barry with Mick Foley and that new blonde.
That was cool. I thought Titus O'Neil did a fantastic job on that, by the way. And Wade Barrett did too. I thought Wade Barrett did a good job too. But I want to see it be like Bobby Lashley or someone like that.
I just can't imagine him coming back to WWE. That's all.
I've seen.
I mean, don't get me wrong. No. Let me rephrase that. Like, I can see it, but I don't see it. You know what I mean? Like, that'd be like, whoa,
I would
a non-WrestleMania pop.
And
yeah,
me, for you, I would love for it to be Kofi.
I'd like it to be Kofi too, but I would also like World Hunger to end, but you know.
Only thing possible for Kofi to ever go here would be for him to be a Heyman guy.
Yeah, maybe Heyman could talk him into it, you know?
Like, 347.
He needs that.
347-637-3859. In about 5 minutes, we'll be talking with the first black Intercontinental Champion, Mr. Ahmed Johnson. I told you, after Extreme Rules, this will be an explosive Perfect Plex Talk Radio. What else did you get out of that pay-per-view last night? I like just the Triple H and Brock Lesnar match.
Yeah,
I didn't give me a blood type on it.
Okay, I'll get to that. I did not like the Cena-Ryback match, and I'll tell you why. I thought they did a good job during the match, but if you're going to make it a last-man-standing match, you have to have some finality to it, and that's why the fans turned on that match, you know? And WWE's got to stop doing that. If they were going to do the bullcrap ending that they did last night, they should have just made it a regular match. It was a bullcrap ending. They should have just made it a regular match. Because people, when you pay your hard-earned money to get pay-per-views, you don't pay for those dusty finishes. You pay.
You pay for a story. You're watching wrestling for a story.
No, that's not true. You pay to
pay-per-views.
See,
you pay for a conclusion.
Yeah, you do pay for a conclusion.
What pay-per-views ever been conclusion?
Especially in the main event, and that one just. To me, that was just not how you do that type of – with that stipulation. I thought
they say I'm hard on my kids. They say I'm hard on my kids. You're harder than WWE.
No, I'm just saying, man, if you're going to do that, you just do it regularly. Because the fans turned on that match when they announced it. That pay-per-view got more BS chat than any pay-per-view in recent memory. And it's WWE's own fault. Like, I could understand if they – But, you know, you don't do this to people who pay that money. You know, they work. You know, these are blue-collar people, and you're making them pay money to see these shows, and then they go to the shows, and then you do that to them. And St. Louis is all places, too. St. Louis is a wrestling city. You can't do that to those people there, man.
It definitely is.
347-637-3859.
Chad Rivera in the building.
What up,
Rivera?
Did you see Extreme Rules last night?
I did not. I read the recaps. I had some family stuff going on last night, so I had to miss out. But I know what's going on.
Come on, family stuff. Did you and the missus get down with a bottle of Cavassier, turn the incense up?
That was the day before.
Come Jose Cuervo.
And do it in the butt. Sorry, that's my poor excuse for a lot of the ladies, man. But go ahead. What you think about the synopsis you read?
What about what?
What you read, the inserts, and what you read.
From the pay-per-view last night, kind of like KME's saying, it's a little bit disappointing after the Cena-Ryback finish. But other than that, from reading, I'm glad that the Shield, that they got the titles. I think it's good for them. I don't know if it'll elevate the belts at all, but it'll definitely elevate the Shield for having them, holding the belts. I don't know. It just seemed pretty run-of-the-mill, something that I wouldn't have spent money on. But let's be honest, I really don't spend it outside the Big Four occasionally. I don't know. It was just kind of a run-of-the-mill pay-per-view. The finish of the Cena and Ryback one wasn't decisive, which kind of sucks. And the Brock Lesnar and Triple H thing, I heard it was a decent match, but nothing that was really anything to write home about. So I think it was just average.
Now, Chad, I like what you say. I totally agree with you. I love what you say, KME. Pay-per-views, you either have an epic, conclusion or an even better, continuation. And when you had the John Cena-Ryback match end like that, actually is bad. Is bad for business, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so too. Because those, you don't get 20,000 people chatting bullcrap, you know, by accident.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
That's the WWE's fault, because we know, and we all wrestling fans here in the years of wrestling, knowing you can't start a feud with a last man standing match.
Of course not.
Yeah,
that's like the end of the feud is a last man standing match.
Right. I just think they just threw that out there so they can have as much, as much fanfare or much extreme as it can get, and they really could have been done a lot better, executed a lot more accurately when it's the WWE title involved. I just think that right now, like you said, Chad, I got a question for you. You said putting the belts on the Shield don't hurt. They didn't need it.
It adds to the Shield thing if they hold the belts that, you know, more or less, even though the belts aren't really valuable, it's kind of still the symbol of them holding more power within their build and their takeover, what they're doing. So it's good for them, but I don't think it's going to elevate the belts necessarily. I mean, the people holding the belts, it'll elevate them because it shows them.
The Shield winning those belts is all predicated on what they do next. You know, we can sit here and debate and talk about it all day, but if the WWE doesn't push those guys, if Dean Ambrose starts losing tonight, then we'll know that it's not contested. You know,
but isn't that them downgrading the Shield by putting those belts on them? What I mean by downgrading? What I mean by downgrading is they done danced with Cena, they've danced with Taker, they've danced with Rock, and now you got them wrestling Kofi?
It's like almost like going from the NBA to the D League because those belts have meant nothing. I get what you're saying. I understand it more actually now that you've said it.
Now Dean Ambrose will be wrestling Zack Ryder on Raw, wrestling Sin Cara on Main Event.
You sold me on that spot.
I don't know if Knox is on hold, so I don't know if he heard that, but yeah, I definitely get that point, dude. It's an extremely valid point. Not so much with the tag titles, because those have been kind of protected with Kane and Bryan, but definitely with the U.S. title.
I just don't understand it. Like, I don't know what they think sitting back there. Like, hey, let's just do this. If anything, Kofi needed to win by count out or anything. Like, he could have won by count out by knocking Kofi out. You know what I mean? But he didn't have to win the title. Image of the Shield holding.
I think you forget the biggest thing that is important to wrestling, and that's them winning titles. You know what I mean? That's the thing. As a wrestler, you got into the business because you love the business, but you were more proud to say you earned that title. So don't take what they're in the business to do. It's for, yes. Just give me a second, guys. We're having technical difficulties. Ahmed Johnson's trying to call in. I'm trying to call out Blog Talk's doing the Blog Talk thing. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back with Perfect Flex Talk Radio. Hold your head.
Are you ready?
Because this is Perfect Plex Talk Radio. People, we told you we had a guest for you today. I told you I had the first black Intercontinental Champion. He's coming into the barbershop. So do what we do. Stand on your feet for Mr. Tony, a.k.a. Ahmed Johnson. No way! What's going on, Tony?
I like that. I can live with that.
That's the only way I knew how to live, Mr. I don't know if to call you Tony, call you Ahmed Johnson. I'm just glad I'm calling you something. How you doing this evening?
Right. You're my friend. Call me what you want to call me. Just don't call me late for dinner.
I know that's right. I'm about hungry. As soon as we done this program, I'm getting right to it. That's for sure. But first, I want to say thank you, and thank you for joining us here on the BDSR Network's Perfect Plex Talk Radio. See, this internet thing, Tony, they just do stuff to it to try to hold us down. Honestly, it's that little white man that nobody wants to talk about. He's still back there trying to hold me down. Just give me my 40 acres and my mule, and I'll be okay. Okay.
God, you're preaching to the choir on that one.
But
what I've been through.
You know what? We're about to get into that, what you've been through with that, and much more. But I'm going to just straight up ask you this. As a black man, as a black person who grew up loving wrestling, had the opportunity to participate in wrestling, but never on the level you participated in to be where you were, I got to ask this because in my world we live in, we all believe this is true. Is Vince McMahon a racist?
From the word go.
Wow. 100%.
From the word go. But I had no idea of what he was. You know, I always said the best trick the devil ever pulled off was hiding in plain sight. If you read the Bible, everything the devil ever did, he didn't hide. He did it in plain sight because nobody caught on to it. That's Vince McMahon.
Wow. Well, you know what? It's been because I'm growing up, I'm watching you, and I'm saying, you should be world champion. You were just as good as Razor Ramon, who never got the chance to be world champion. But, you know, the Shawn Michaels that were there. And I got to look at you honestly. Okay, I can relate to you. You know what I mean? You spoke the way I spoke. You looked the way I looked. You know what I mean? You were doing things that I had seen no athlete, let alone black athlete, do in professional wrestling. Speak on some of the things that maybe at that time, you know, I'm a huge Shawn Michaels guy. I hope that doesn't offend you. Okay, but I know that he had some things.
A little bit, but I can live with it.
Hey, well, did he really try to stop
you? I'll tell you the story.
But that's what I want to hear. Tell me this, because I got to keep reading stuff. I want to hear from you. Michael Hickenbottom, HBK, did he tell you to stop being who you was and stop wrestling the way you were wrestling because it was offending him?
Yes, what happened was, dog, when I first got there, you need to go and try to get tape when I first got there, okay? And even my dark matches when I tried out. Dog, I am the only person I ever seen that halfway during my show, the audience in the arena stood up on their feet and gave me a standing ovation before the show was even done. We were still wrestling because the shit was so outstanding. And Shawn Michaels called me off after a while, and he said that, Ahmed, he said, we need you to stop doing the high-flying moves. I'm like, what? And he's like, well, the reason why is, he said, here you are, 380 pounds, and you're flying over the top rope doing 1.5 gainer moonsaults and all this stuff that we can't even do. And he said, and then when we get in there at 190 pounds or 180 pounds, it makes us look bad because you've already done it at 380 pounds. So what he was saying was, your athletic ability is so far above ours, you're making us look bad. So if you want to continue wrestling with the company, we're going to have to ask you to stop doing these things.
Wow. And Shawn Michaels
like,
said this to you? And Shawn Michaels said this to you?
Yes, the old John Michaels. And he said, and what we need you to do is, I have a list. He had a list on a piece of paper. He said, I need you to start doing more bear hugs, more slams. Dogs, come on. Bear hugs and slams and shit. How much talent does it take for me to get you in a bear hug?
Not much. My son can do a bear hug. My wife, she bear hugged me last night, missionary style. It was going on.
Exactly. I mean, I can jump, you know, on your son. As long as I have my legs locked in around his knees, he can hold up four times his weight. The secret is to lock your knees and your legs around the back of their knees, and it braces both of you. So that took no talent at all. What I was doing took pure athletic skill. There was no doubt that this dude was an athlete.
But was there anybody else? Was there anybody else like Shawn Michaels that was back there? That was maybe is the word they say today. You know, hating on your black athleticism.
Oh, no, there was a shitload of them, but they didn't have the position that Shawn had where they could tell me that without getting punched in the damn face.
Okay.
But there was a shitload of them that felt like that. But, you know, Shawn Michaels was the Triple H back then. He was the he had his own office at the Titan Towers and everything else. So what he said went. What he said, it was like Vince saying it.
Okay. Do you think some would say, maybe peers or whoever else was around that point in time, that maybe you were, let's just say, maybe overreacting or, you know, I'm trying to put it a way that was said to me to say to you without, you know, I'm just going to say how they say hating or maybe you.
Just the way they said it.
You're overreacting to what really happened, and if Shawn gave you an opportunity, you regret to take advantage of the opportunity, and the cards fell where they may.
Because if they consider you telling me to stop doing my high-flying moves, and you're telling me face-to-face that my athletic ability is making the rest of you look bad, and you want me to do bear hugs and shit like that, then, yeah, they even told me, you know who they told me to watch?
What's that?
I'm not knocking a brother. You know, I respect him. You know, he's a black man, and I know he went through a lot of shit. But you know who they told me to watch?
Who's that?
Bad News Brown.
Oh, absolutely. Come on, that's classic.
But, you know, he didn't have athletic ability to do what I did.
No,
so
not
he
at
did,
all.
Like, bear hugs and stuff. And I shouldn't say that because maybe they told him the same thing.
Mm.
Maybe he was forced to do it. But I tell you what, Big Cat, I don't know if you remember Big Cat Ernie Ladd. Do you remember Ernie Ladd?
Vaguely, yes.
Remember he'd just take his thumb and he would tape his thumb up and he did the AJ and Spike with his thumb.
Yeah, right.
Okay, well, Vince sent me to talk to Big Cat Ernie Ladd before I got hired with the WWF because he thought for some reason that Ernie Ladd was going to, you know, speak highly of them when put in place. Man, let me tell you, Big Cat Ernie Ladd told me, brother, you are about to enter the most racist organization you can go into. And I was freaked out because I'm expecting this dude to say, hey, you got a good opportunity here. You know, they're going to take care of you. I love Vince. And, bruh, he just tore them down. And I knew that it was a black man talking to a black man. And he fed me the real. And let me tell you, somebody else that knows the real, if he'll talk to you about it, because he's still on the payroll, WWF.
Uh-huh.
So he might not, but Ron Simmons, Farooq.
Oh, I'm waiting for that day.
We sat back and had many discussions about what he went through in WCW and WWF back in the days.
I'm definitely waiting on those days to come through. We got my man right here in the barbershop, 347-637-3859. We are talking to Ahmed Johnson, unless you know his government, okay? In the barbershop, what happens in the barbershop, well, don't stay here because, damn it, it's a barbershop. Spot Face, you're on with the Black Intercontinental Champion, first of all time, Ahmed Johnson. Go ahead, brother.
First of all, Mr. Norris, it's a pleasure having you on the program. It's truly, indeed, an honor.
Thank you, bro.
My question is, what was the actual gimmick behind the Ahmed Johnson character?
Like, I need to know that. Like, what was the, you know, how did they pitch it? What did they tell you? You know, how did they, you know, direct you to be gimmick wise?
Okay, let me throw it to you like this, dog. I kind of helped with the name, and I know people can't understand that, but they turned it into something opposite of what I wanted to be. Okay, Ahmed is an African name. It means worthy of praise. Okay, Johnson was the most commonly used slave name in slavery. Mm-hmm. So I just, to honor those two heritage, I kind of threw in Ahmed Johnson because it was worthy of praise and the most common used slave name that our people had to fight through, okay? But then they took it and told me I was going to be Muslim.
Wow. How did that go for you, being a Baptist man as you were?
It worked good when I was overseas. Hey, I'm not going to lie to you. When I was overseas, I'm not going to lie to you. God forgive me. My wife got on me about this. When I was overseas, man, they interviewed me in Kuwait, and they, are you Muslim? I'm like, yeah, I am. I said, my mom's, you know, from Kuwait, and my dad's black. And they just thought that was the greatest thing since sliced bread. But then if they had looked at my menu that I was ordering from my room, they would have seen pork chops, steaks, and all kind of shit. And they would have known, wait a minute, this dude ain't no Muslim.
Spam.
This dude eats pork.
He got some spam up in there with some mustard. Go ahead, Cammy.
It's great having you, Ahmed. I know you never do these interviews, or rarely do interviews, so we definitely appreciate the privilege of talking to you. I want to know, when you first got into the main roster, was there any, I know we know the guys that were holding you back and stuff, was there anybody that was like, I see potential in this guy, as far as wrestlers are concerned, let me take this guy under my wing and teach him the things that I know? You know, anybody do that for you?
There was, one guy was, what was his name, man? If I said the name, you'd know him. But he was still kind of racist because he wanted me to change my name to Buck.
Okay.
Cowboy something. Cowboy Bill Watts.
Cowboy Bill Watts, yo. I know him.
Cowboy
he might
Bill
bring Joe.
Yeah, Cowboy Bill Watts, dog. He wanted to, you know, take me and help mold me. But when he told me that he wanted my name to be Buck Watson, I'm like, oh, yeah, big-ass nigga called Buck. That sounds about right. That sounds about right. And the only guy I could ever remember, and this is sad, out of all them guys, the blacks and the whites, not just the white boys, the brothers, too. I'll tell you about that in a little bit. But the only guy that ever helped me backstage was Razor Ramon.
Wow.
We've interviewed him twice.
Razor
on this
Ramon
program.
Would stay at the curtains, dog, and watch my matches. And I didn't know he was doing it. When I get from behind the curtain, he would pull me to the side and say, hey, I mean, do more of this, do less of this. Look like this in your face when you're doing that. When you throw punch, throw it more like this. Razor Ramon. Can you believe that shit?
No. That's good to know, but we would think that would happen back then, and that's not always people being competitive and wanting to have that spot, wanting to make the business better. 347-637-3859. The lines are on fire. Avoid the clap, Jimmy Dugan. This is the show the pros listen to, and the man is spitting off. Before I open up the phone lines to you guys, I want to ask you this other question that I have in mind. Real fast. Now, I've read somewhere, and again, I like to get guys on my show, Tony, so I can ask some questions myself. Not always what I read. Sometimes you don't always know what's real and what's not. You know what I mean? I read that when you first won the Intercontinental title, something about a noose in the locker room and someone spray painting, you know, that ignorant word on your car. Is that true?
Yes. Somebody, when I won the belt, I went to my car and somebody had scratched on my car with a key.
Right.
Congratulations, nigger.
Wow.
How did that,
and
how did that make you feel?
My locker
you probably
the next day, and at my locker the next day, there was a monkey with a noose around his neck. So this is the congratulations that I had to live with.
How did you respond
but as usual,
to such racism?
Right. But as usual, they took a good moment and made it bad. A moment I was cherished in because I was going down in the history books,
mm-hmm.
and they took it and made me feel like shit for
how
even
did,
doing it.
How did you feel? What did you do at that point? Was it maybe
fist-to-cuss
in the locker room? Or?
Well, let me tell you something. You got to think about this, down dog. Okay, this is when they woke me up, though. See, what I believe in doing, cuz, when you do something bad, I try to find the good in it and why it was done. Okay, and God always has a good plan in it. Okay, now what they did by doing that, they made me look at the WWF as a whole. And I said to myself, why did they wait until 1996 to crown a black man champion?
Mm-hmm.
So I started investigating that a little bit. And I come to find out they had a meeting before that. And it was said in a meeting by WWE official and Shawn Michaels and some of the other top boys that the public wasn't ready for a black champion. In 1996, in a fake-ass business like wrestling.
Tiger
Woods
had
broke the barrier. Tiger Woods, all the guys that broke the barrier. You talking about a guy that played pro football, most distinguished honor graduate in the military, Fort Sill, first black guy to do that. Broke the barrier. And you telling me that wrestling is not ready for a black man?
Can I ask a question about so how is it that a guy like you, who from all accounts, what we saw in 96, it looked like you were poised to be the next,
right,
the first black world champion in the WWF, and it doesn't happen with you, and it doesn't happen with a lot of guys, but for Dwayne The Rock Johnson, how does a guy like him, is it because maybe he's, a lighter-skinned dude, or, like, how did he break through? Because even him, it wasn't like watching his journey on TV, it didn't seem as easy for him as it was for a lot of guys, but he had, I guess, whatever charisma through the roof or whatever that got him to where he ultimately got to, and it just seemed like he couldn't be denied. But I don't understand, like, how he's the only one, and so many of brothers come through, and just they never get to that big one,
First of all, let me drop some more knowledge real quick, okay? First of all, because to show you I'm not a hater, The Rock is the best in history on the mic. You'll never find another guy like that in the past or in the present that can talk like that boy can on the mic. He was the best. He would sell the show just by talking, a skill that nobody else had, me or nobody else. So I give him his props on that, okay? But let me tell you something else. Like you said, he's only half black. Okay, just like President Obama. Do you think if President Obama had a
full black
mother and a full black father, and he was a dark-skinned brother, they would elect him as president? Hell no.
Now, Tony, you got people saying, there they go, they setting us back again. Now, I got to agree with you on that because, with the last name, maybe Assistant Dwayne. I'm a huge Anawani family. I thank Uncle Rikishi. I love you. The whole family, Lance, Black Pearl, everybody. I'm a real. That's how I got my name out here, because of Uncle Rikishi. But that last name is you know, the second most powerful name, if not the third, in wrestling. You think that also helped him out? Could maybe hit at you? Or would you say maybe, just to piggyback off of KME's question, maybe some of the injuries caught up with you at the wrong time?
Well, the injuries did catch up with me, dog, but let me tell you about that, too. But first of all, let me tell you what me and The Rock got into and fight about in the locker room. We got in a fight in the locker room one day because I was on the other side of the locker. He didn't know I was in there. He walked in there, Sean, Billy Gunn, Dog, and somebody else, another white guy. They were talking to him, and they had no idea I was in the locker room on the other side. They were talking to him, and he made the statement that his mother had an affair with a white guy and got pregnant with him.
What?
And that was something he wouldn't tell the fans, that his mother had an affair with a white guy and got pregnant with him. So he was denying his black heritage all the way around.
I'm assuming since then there's been a paternity test.
Huh?
I'm assuming since then he's got a paternity test and maybe.
I don't know what he got in, but that led to a fight between me and him in the locker room, a fist fight. Because I went around and I fronted him about it. When I got around, he was like, oh, man, I was just kidding with them. No, you wasn't. If I went on the other side, you would have kept that shit as true.
Wow. 347-637-3859. Now, we have told you Extreme Rules ain't have nothing on Perfect Plex Talk Radio BDSR Networks. We got my man Rockin' Reese calling in from Philly. Reese, we are pressed for time, so I'm going to get you guys' questions in here right now. Make it quick. Be swift. The man does have a life. He needs some money like I need some money, so pay us if you want to talk longer. But, Reese, you on with the man, the myth, the legend himself, Ahmed Johnson. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's go, champ. I had to ask your first moment in the WWF, you had to body slam Yokozuna. I had to ask you, like, was you worried about like, oh man, my first day on the job, I'm gonna have to risk hurting myself trying to lift up this 670-pound man?
Man, I was scared of shit. I was scared. Now, let me tell you what happened on that. I was new in the business. When you're new, you're the green guy, the veterans give you hell, bruh. You got hell to pay, and you got to prove yourself to them. So I went to Yoko and said, hey, Yoko, Vince want me to slam you at the end of your match. He looked me dead in my face, dog, and tells me, well, I hope you can pick me the fuck up. I'm like, oh, why you say that? And he's like, because I'm not jumping for you. When we slam people, we don't really slam them. They jump, and we just help you carry over your weight. We just guide you on the slam. We don't really slam you. And this dude told me he wasn't going to help me or jump. Dog, I stayed back there the whole match while I'm watching the match. I'm being honest with you. I was thinking about my child abuse that I went through. I was putting everything in my mind that I hated. I was trying to think of my girl cheating. She didn't, because I would have killed her if she did. But I was trying to think of my girl cheating with another guy. Anything that could make me mad. So when I got to that ring, dog, I was pumped. So when I picked this big ass up, man, dog, first of all, I love Yokozuna. Don't get me wrong. When we had a problem to get him, I love him.
Rest in peace, Rodney.
But, you know, yeah, he my boy. I love him to death. We end up being road partner right up down the road together when we can find a car big enough for both our asses. But I picked him up, man, and he was so big, it felt like my hand disappeared in his asshole. It felt like jello. And when I picked him up, he tripped out. Because when I grabbed him and when I flipped him, he said, oh, shit. I mean, he couldn't believe it. So I snatched his big ass up. And then I looked at the tape, and I'm like, his left leg was bigger than me. But it was one of them dogs, the old dog, where I had to psych myself out. But, you know, I got it done.
That's what you do. I got my man. He is, without him, he's one, what you call a fourth of a person, a quarter of this show right here, Chad Rivera, my history buff. Chad, you are on with the first black intercontinental champion. Respect the glory. What's going on, Chad? Ask your question, my friend.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Ahmed.
What's up,
It's a pleasure to talk to you, man. I was a big fan back in the day. But
hey,
my question, I'm going to jump
baby.
Ahead. Yeah, I'm going to jump ahead onto the WWF, and you had a short stint in 2000 in WCW. Around
mm-hmm.
that time, there was definitely it was storied in how disorganized it was, and it was definitely sinking to, you know, when the company eventually went out of business in 2001. My question is,
right.
coming from the WWF to WCW, how much of a change was that? Because a lot of people say they didn't know who was in power and things were, you know, so crazy backstage. And also, what led, cause since you had kind of a short stint, what kind of led to you and WCW parting ways so abruptly?
Well, WCW, first of all, as far as who ran it, it was total opposite of WWF. And WWF, you had the warden running the prison. And WCW, the inmates ran the prison.
Yeah, I hear
you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
The boys ran that show. But only thing I liked about that, WCW, was they were tougher. The boys, they didn't cry about being hit like the WWF guys did. The guys in WCW, they were a lot tougher for some reason, man.
Hold on, I got to cut you off, Tony. 1 second. Are you telling me, you're saying that you're pretty much saying the WWF back locker room guys were a bunch of pansies compared to WCW? That's what I'm hearing from my
father.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
That's exactly what I'm saying. They were a lot softer.
WCW where the big boys played then.
No, WCW was where the big boys played.
Yeah,
WWF is
so
where
really.
The big boys act like they play.
Wow. Oh, man, I got a question off the subject of wrestling, man. I'm a huge
mm-hmm.
hip-hop head. How was it playing Suge Knight in that Hammer movie, man?
Dog, I had to go. I got to hang with my boy, man, for a little while. I got to go hang with him for, you know, 5 months a month. We hung out together. And believe the shit. Believe the hype. It's true. He's ruthless and tough. He's ruthless and he's off the chain. I got to like the brother, but he's ruthless and he's off the chain. And he's as vicious as you heard he is.
Tony, this is from my man, Jazz Kumar. He's actually one of the guys that he's actually spoken with you about doing a T-shirt design for you and some graphic work. He said he had read some stuff about you and your friendship with the late, you know, Hulk from the Legion of Doom, and how close were you guys in the business out there, you know, up till he passed away. Who do you miss most of those guys like that?
Man, me and Hawk Dog was this dude would call me instead of Animal to go do shows. We were sneaking out doing all kind of shows.
Come on, was that the cocaine? Was that the cocaine?
Yeah,
it was the cocaine. James said it was a hell of a drug, so he's calling you to come do shows.
Yeah, instead of his partner, he wanted to do shows with me. Because we got, you know, we walk out of here big money. But if you think about it, not even knocking Animal, although I should be, but I should have talked. But not even knocking Animal, Dog, just to God honest truth. When you think about the Road Warriors, you think about Hawk. Because what you think about is, oh, what a Russian.
Right.
He was the one that had all the athletic ability. So he kind of carried the team. And that's just God honest truth. Hawk carry a team.
Wow. We got a call coming in from 212. This is my man Hugo, the Latin lover, because I'm sophisticated in my manhood enough to know that Spy Face, what's my name?
Big Daddy Knox.
Big Daddy Knox. I'll be having to follow these guys, Tony, and what's going on. But the Latin lover is here.
Tell them the truth.
I won't tell him the truth until he gets a computer board and he can handle his own mute and unmute button. We'll tell you the truth later. Hugo, you're on the Johnson.
What's going on,
Ahmed?
Big fan back in the day
you?
Of your work, man. Not much, man. So I got a question for you, and I just came out to the show, so I really can hear most of the interview. So if you touched on this, I apologize. In 1997, you were actually, you know, obviously you were red hot. You know, you were en route to doing big things. But in 1997, I remember you were in the King of the Ring tournament, and I remember you defeated Hunter Hearst Helmsley in the first round, and then they booked you once again to go ahead and face him once again in the pay-per-view. My question to you is, were you
the winner to were you the clear choice to probably be the winner at the King of the Ring? Or, I mean, why would they just take you out so quickly from the King of the Ring tournament?
Let me tell you what was going on with that, okay? I'm glad you asked that question. Vince and Vince Russo, I don't know if you guys know who Vince Russo is.
Absolutely.
But
yeah,
Vince Russo was the writer. He was the writer of the thing. He liked me, okay? And so Vince Russo called me and told me, because I thought they were finna give me the push for the belt too. Vince Russo called me and told me that the angle was going to be me and Undertaker was going to go at it, okay? They were going to set it up to where the fans thought that, you know, hey, this is going to be the first black champion. But I told you earlier, they said they wasn't ready for a black champion.
Right.
Okay. So they had set it up where it looked like I was going to beat Undertaker and become the champion. But at the last second of a match, they had set up where Kane was going to interfere in the match and chokeslam me. So once again, like I said about the devil hiding in plain sight, yeah, he was going to make it, and you were going to believe that, oh, man, I'm about to get the belt. He's about to get the belt. One, two, then Kane was going to interfere and stop it. So it would have kept both of us clean, me and Taker and WWF, because, oh, if Kane interfered, he would have won. But it was never going to happen.
So do you think at any given time, I want to use KME's words and just digress. Let's just think about since you were in, because, you know, I read some of your inserts and you know, you was abused as a child, you know, and it's very sad news to hear that. I don't want to really harp on that on that too much, but you come out of a poverty-stricken environment. You make it to this conglomerate, which is the WWF at the time. You probably got all the homies at home, you know, family at home looking for you to come support them, a la the way, you know, Hammer did. But yet you get here and the company shows interest, but yet pulls the rug from underneath of you. With that happening to you, were you glad someone like a friend of yours, Monty Brown, stepped away from the business for family?
That who did now?
Monty Brown.
He did what?
Stepped away from the business to take care of his family.
Yeah, I am. I have to, you know, respect that. But let me tell you what I respect about my family, my brothers and sisters. I got to be honest, and like I said, I don't bullshit. You know me. That's why you call me, because you know I'm gonna give you the straight up. My oldest sister, and I shouldn't be saying this, but I'm saying it anyway because the truth is the truth. My oldest sister screwed me. Okay, she called me and said she needed $24,000 or they were about to take her house. And she was crying and everything. And all we've been through as kids, I couldn't say no. So I sent her the $24,000, doll, and I had said to myself, I told her I want you to pay me back. But in my heart, I said, if she sent me one penny, I'm going to let her keep all that money. I just want to see if she's going to do it. Okay? She never did it. Never sent me one red penny. Never sent me a note saying thank you. Nothing. Okay, this is my blood, my oldest sister. But none of my other family members, seven of them, not one of them has ever called me for a dime.
Wow, that's good.
All of them have their own little successful career. You know, two of them are cops. I got my one brother who's Kenny, who's a cop, you know, in Tampa, Florida right now. He's a lieutenant running shit. You know, he's Asian and IC down there.
Not like Shaq, you know, putting people's face in toilets and stuff. Not like Shaq.
No.
Okay.
None of that.
Okay, none of
he's,
that.
He's the Asian IC. You know, you know why he doesn't do it? Because the abuse that we went through as kids.
Okay.
He's not down with that. But this dude is they call him RoboCop. This dude got more muscles and was better than I was. And, you know, then my other family's doing well. And my son is Marvin Norris. Now he's a cop also in Miami, Florida. So, I mean, all my family is doing super good, man. My daughter, Amanda, is in Canada. And She is, I mean, man, such a good mother and wife. It's I couldn't ask for a better family.
Look at you being a grandpa. Ahmed. 347-637-3859. The lines are on fire. Vote the clap. Jimmy Dugan, as always, that's the best advice somebody can give you because you can't give that stuff back. We're going to take one more call. I'm going to go down this roller F, if you will, so to speak, and pick a caller. 513, you're on with Tony Norris, Ahmed Johnson. Spread your love, spread your hate. Whatever it is, just spread it. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, Ahmed, and what's up, Spot?
What's up,
cuz?
What's going on, cuz? I had a question. Okay, I think that Farouk, your Farouk's feud, I think that was like one of the best feuds because y'all did some classic promos. I had a question. Was either one of y'all could be the black champion? Because I figured one of y'all should have been a black champion. And did y'all enjoy your feud together?
513, before Ahmed answers that, before he answers that question, where were you at? He just told you he should have been black champion. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ahmed.
I missed half of it.
That's why you go to BDSRnetwork.com, start over from the beginning, go to Stitcher, or download it in iTunes for free as well. I'm sorry, Ahmed. I just got to get him in while I can. Go ahead, Ahmed. With a question, your thing with Farouk.
Because, let me tell you about something, you know, about that. Once again, I'm glad you asked that. Because, yes, I believe that me or him should have been black champion, but it wasn't going to happen, like I said, because they didn't. They said that the public wasn't ready for it. But let me tell you something. Even when I was injured and went out, they still could have gave the belt to Farouk, Rock, or anybody else, but they didn't do it. First of all, what I was a test tube baby. They gave a belt on me, and if I had carried it wrong, if I had gotten in trouble one time or disrespected one fan, that would have been all they needed to say, I told you you can't get them niggas no belt. I told you you can't give them, you know, the key to the house. What they wanted was a house, nigga, and they didn't get it.
Well,
that's what
they
wanted.
Well, I'm
and
glad you were Django Unchained then.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, my name is Django, and the D is silent, bitch.
Right. 347-637-3859.
But no, you're right on that. And to me, Ron Simmons is the king. Okay, to show you how much I'm not on my tip. And how much I'm not pushing Ahmed, Ron Simmons is the king because he was the first black champion at WCW in history. So you got to give him his props. Like I said, without Big T, there'd have been no Big E.
Oh!
Without Ron Simmons, we wouldn't have never been in it.
You know what? I want to ask you these last quick questions, and I like how you shifted gears right there where I was about to go. How do you feel about the new talent that's there today? How they
terrible.
Perform? Terrible? Okay. Enlighten us.
Terrible, dog. I can cut you off right now and tell you, this is the worst I've ever seen the business. Dog, let me tell you something. I watched that crap for the first time. I haven't watched it in 2 years. My wife will tell you, I have not watched it. I watched it Friday for the first time. I was so disappointed in her. First of all, you got no more pure athletes. And what I'm saying by saying that is when in the 90s you had ex-football players, Brian Pillman, Ahmed Johnson, Farouk, four-time consistent All-American, Florida State, the only defensive player to ever have a jersey retire. You had professional karate men, Mark Merrill, Golden Glove Box. You had athletes, dog, back then who didn't mind taking a little punishment. Okay? Today, they don't have any athletic background. It's just like, you know, that Elassie, whatever that boy is, and that Ryback, whatever. You got a bunch of guys pumped up on some steroids. Who?
Well, hold on. Didn't they say you guys were on steroids, too? I'm just saying.
Hey, but you know what? Some of us
was. Just a safe face. Okay. Were you?
Some of us was, dog. But one thing you couldn't deny is our pure athleticism.
Were you?
Today, you don't. Was I?
Were you on steroids?
Dog, you can look at all my brothers and even my sisters all pumped up and Bill. We didn't have to.
That was God given. I like it. Booby Miles style. God given.
We didn't have because you got to remember my dad played pro football with the Kansas City Chiefs, so he was a big man to begin with. And he, we would get a whipping if we didn't work out. He brought us a weight set that was in our front room, dog, in like a little patio area. And if your name wasn't signed off on a piece of paper that you had got your workout in that day and what you had did, you would get beat for it. So my build wasn't because I wanted to be that way. It was because that was either you do it or you get a beating.
So what do you say about guys? Let's say I'm going to throw a couple of names out there, and you tell me. I'm going to throw their name out. You say good or bad. And then we're going. Now, so I'll go to the next name and the next name. John Cena.
Bad.
CM Punk.
Good because the boy is going off his talent.
Chris Jericho.
I would say good because he's also going off his talent.
Okay, let's go to the other Ram over there, Billy Ray.
Billy Ray is also, I would say, pure talent.
Okay, I can respect that. We still already know what you said about, okay, since that just came up like 8 different inboxes, they want me to tell you about my other favorite guy, Triple H.
Triple H, oh, with older juice. Don't
we all know that.
You know what, though? Let me tell you something, though. You asked me earlier about the wrestlers who helped me. I've got to tell you, too. Triple H was also another one. When I was there in green, he helped me through the matches with just him, not anybody else. Like the matches we had, me and him, he carried me. He carried me through all the matches because he would call them. And to tell me exactly what to do on them, he carried me through those matches, and that's why they were so good. But I mean, he didn't help me with anybody else's matches. It wasn't like we got done. He would help me with anybody else.
Well, what
about Bret Hart?
That was my next name.
No, Bret Hart was not on any Jews, dog. Bret Hart.
No, as far as
they
good or bad
up in the business, huh?
Was he good or bad in the ring?
Good.
Okay.
Extremely good.
Before I ask you that other person's name, because that one might take a little while and as we exit out of this interview, Shawn Michaels, you had a lot to speak about. He's made a bad face, and we all know that, you know, once you go before him and you're humble, you can see him to change. Would you be willing to make amends with him today off of how he was, you know, 20 years ago towards you?
Yes. Yes. Probably you have to take a minute to answer that. Yes, because... You know, dog, I do the best I can as a Christian. I don't claim to be a full-blown Christian. I make my mistakes. But God has forgiven me for some devious stuff that me and Stevie Ray has done.
Okay.
Stevie, I'm putting you out there, dog.
But what are those things you have done? Would that be Sonny, Tony Bitch? I mean, Snitch?
Who?
Sammy Lynch. Sammy Lynch. I'm sorry.
No, Stevie Ray, dog, from Harlem Heat.
No, I'm talking about some of the people you've done. Would that be Sonny? Tammy Lynch.
You mean slept with?
Yes.
No. Well, I don't know where everybody got that from. She used to make her little...
You were a big, strapping black guy?
Never. Okay. Don't get me wrong. I would like to say I did, but no, honestly, I never.
Oh, right.
Never did. I know that I didn't want to.
Okay.
Well, what is up with this so-called animosity you do have with each other?
With who?
You and Sonny.
What do you mean? You got to educate me now.
Okay, well, see, there it is. Nothing to educate. Do you ever consider yourself maybe going back to WWE, maybe doing a Hall of Fame? Would that be something you'd be interested in?
I would want to go back, dog, to finish unfinished business. Because, first of all, I what eats me up is I never lost the Intercontinental belt. They took it from me. Nobody's ever beat me for it. And ever since they took it from me, the Intercontinental belt's been nothing since then. People lost their respect for it. I would like to go back and finish out that story. And I would like to go back if Vince is going to make amends and apologize for the way they felt about African-Americans. I would like to go back and see that. But I would like for him to do it on TV, publicly.
Okay. I got a couple more questions. Question, maybe, hopefully, I like to see it. I know a lot of us who are fans of yours like to see it. You're one of the interviews that I got into this business that I actually wanted to do, so I'm glad I had the opportunity, and you're a real down-to-earth guy, and you've been very candid with us in your responses, and I respect you for that. Three more questions will let you go from my crew, because without them, I couldn't do none of this stuff that I do. I would not be Mr. Blog Talk Radio. I would not be hashtag Mr. Belt King if it wasn't for my crew. Spot, you got one more question for the Intercontinental Champion.
You need
to
manage your dog.
I know that.
They
wanted me to pay $3,000. I told them to go what they can do with that $3,000. I got four kids and a wife that don't work. So, Spot.
$3,000.
It was $3,000 a year, exactly. So I went to be a manager. I got in the ring. I got in the ring against the late, great Canyon. I was in there with Sandman a couple of times and, you know, like little battle roles in Delaware. But, you know, I realized I wasn't paying the same amount of money these guys was paying. But I would love to be a wrestling manager, just any kind of mouthpiece.
You'd be great. You would make money. You would make money for them. I don't know if WWF ever heard you, but I think if they heard you, one thing I'll give Vince McMahon is, you know, he's a smart man. He would see somebody like you, and he would see dollar signs in him because you have the ability to talk and put your words together good, and you could piss a lot of people off.
Tony, I do that already, and my crew is mad you said that because the only thing I got the big head, and that was really going to go.
You
just ruined it for all of us here, man. Like, now we got to deal with this league, bro. Like, come on, man.
God, but if you don't think you can play, who will?
He's going to create himself in the video games now.
I already do that. I'm a grown man that does the extra damn question so we can go ahead.
I'm telling you, this dude, if I owned WWF, I would bring him in as a manager because I think he would be one of the top ones in history. If I heard him.
Go ahead. No, I lost Ahmed, and it was my fault. We're going to get him right back on, guys. 347.
You got to get yourself.
380. Blog Talk was doing some crazy stuff, and I had him on my cell phone, and then my wife was texting me, you know, my son's at his baseball game, and I hit my bell. We're getting him right back, but we got some good stuff going on right now, guys. I'm gonna call him back in a moment. Right now, getting back on, do this exit interview and get up out of here. I extended the show another half an hour as well. I'm going to play a song with you. We'll be right back.
The World Wrestling Federation. For over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.
Back, I made a boo boo. It's okay. Botchmania can be Sin Cara. I think I won a Disney for Botch of the Year last year for doing things just like this. Well, he's back. Ahmed Johnson is back. Spotface, go ahead and ask your question to the first black ever champion.
The first black Intercontinental Champion. I just want to know you play pro football. I would like to know, you know, how was that experience for you, and you know, what made you stop actually before you went into wrestling?
Because that was one of the best experiences you have. The only thing I like wrestling better, and let me tell you why, because back then I was stuck on myself and conceited, and at professional wrestling, I didn't have to share my glory with a bunch of other men. I didn't have to wear a helmet high on my face. You got to see me doing my thing. So that's what's up. And what made me stop honestly, you know about my abuse and all that from my dad. My dad, friend called me, and he one night and at my room, and he told me that my dad was going around telling people that he was proud of me and that the reason I was so on top of my game in football was because he raised me that way. He raised me right, and that made me sick to my damn stomach. So I don't drink alcohol, period. And that night I drank a whole bottle of Jack. It was raining outside. I got in my Jeep with the top off in the rain and was driving probably about 100 miles an hour. And the Jeep flipped. It flipped over the top of me, and it crushed my shoulder. And that was it for football, because every time I got hit, my shoulder would pop out.
Well, KME, you got a question?
Yeah. You're still in the Houston area, right, Tony?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I had just a question. You, by your candor in this interview and how just honest you were about your experiences dealing with WWE, you obviously don't care if you ever work there again. I was wondering if your honesty, like, if do you think that the fact that WWE really is the only game in town prevents other wrestlers from being as honest as you are about dealing with WWE? Because it seems like, I mean, you seem like a well-together dude. You don't, I don't really get that you're bitter towards anybody, but you just don't seem to give a damn about ever working there.
Because you know what? You know what, cuz? You're completely correct on that. And no, honestly, I think they would call me back. And honestly, I didn't tell anybody this. You got for hearing this. I have been contacted recently by one of the head people. Okay, and I just don't know if I want to go back. I may, and I may not. But whether I go back or not, the real is real. Like I said, our real and recognized real. And I don't feel like you can bullshit people no more like you used to be able to. Because they're going to figure you out sooner or later, and they're going to see through you. And if you're full of it, they're going to know you're full of it. So, no, I believe in telling the truth. And, of course, some people aren't going to like it. But you got one or two choices. Whip my ass about it or live with it.
He says, that's why you
got
over
one
there.
Choice. We can live with
that. Right, that's why you over there and I'm over here. Say, go ahead and ask him your questions. We can go ahead and let this man and just say thank you for what a great, great interview we've had tonight. Chad, go ahead with your question.
Because one thing real quick to his other answer. No, you're not going to get this kind of honesty out of the other boys. You will out of Ultimate Warrior and other people, they will. But out of other boys, you won't, because they're still on the payroll. And if they're on the payroll, then they're not going to tell you shit bad about WWF because RE, because they won't be getting that check. I still get a check for my royalties and stuff. But, you know, if it stops, it stops. So what? I had a job before I had that job. I'll get another one.
All right. Well, my question I was going to ask you, Ahmed, was one of my favorite probably my earliest memories, the Raw, or the most fondest one to have, is when you had your feud, which led to your Intercontinental title with Goldust, and the whole when he gave you mouth-to-mouth, and then you just went crazy backstage. You were just destroying everything. But my question for you is, they were definitely pushing the homosexual aspect of Goldust back then. Did that make you comfortable in the feud, and what did you kind of think of that aspect, that edge, that kind of they added to the feud with you and Goldust?
Glad you had questions. Everybody wants to know about them. What happened was, we rehearsed this, okay, and Goldust was supposed to put his hand over my mouth and put his lips on his own hand, okay, because the fans couldn't see. It was live, going to be a live show, but the fans couldn't tell whether you was blowing your hand or my mouth. I didn't care what the fans thought because, you know, if you did it that way, as long as I knew, man, I don't care what people think. I knew you didn't do it. But what he did was call himself being funny. It was a live show. He knew I couldn't move. if he did it, because it would mess up the storyline. So he actually did it for real. And when you see me get about that gurney, I was pissed. That boy that I took through that door, that was his cousin. That was his cousin who volunteered to stand in front of the door. And I tried to make him a permanent part of that damn door. All that was real. And a lot of fans get on me about it. You try to hurt that guy, that was wrong. I don't give a damn.
Man, shut the kitchen. That man tried to kiss you.
Yeah, you were uncomfortable.
Exactly. I don't give a damn what you think if you're against me planting that boy there after that door. You look at it and find gold dust because you really would have seen some off-the-chart stuff going on.
You see, you hear that,
for
Dustin?
For the fans out there that says, for the fans that keep writing me and saying, hey, you were wrong. Man, look, shut the hell up.
We got I'm going to take one more call. From 610, the CFO here on the network, because I'm on my way to L.A., right, Ahmed, Mr. Tony, and he's going to pay for some of that. So when your CFO calls and it gives you money, you got to let him on the show. Here's the host and the owner of the new Twist show here on the BDSR network, Mr. Jay Chris. What's going on, Jay?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing, Ahmed Johnson? It's a pleasure.
What's up, Mr. Chris?
I have one quick question for you. I heard most of the interview today, but I had a phone call, and you may have touched on it, and if you did, I apologize. But I know a couple younger dudes that are wrestlers professionally, and independent wrestling and stuff like that, and they're African-American. And I'm sharing about the advice that you received early on in your career about how it's a racist business. I was just wondering, If you had these young African American brothers in front of you, would you give them the same advice, or would you even tell them? What would you tell them? What would you say to them?
I would tell them, because close to the same, I'm telling the truth what I went through, but I would also tell them to drive on, okay? Because maybe Vince will get the message and he'll change. Maybe he'll be too old and he'll die, and somebody else will take it over who ain't racist. And they'll put stuff back in order. And I wouldn't want them to miss out on that money and that glory. So I would tell them to keep going on. Drive on, do what you're doing, and drive hard. But make sure you have talent. Don't go there trying to go there because you have one or two muscles in your neck. Okay? Go there because you have practiced your craft, and you're willing to pay the dues and do it for your people, dog. And your people, I don't just mean black people. I mean do it for people who are homeless, people who would never get a chance in life to do what you do. Do it for them.
Well,
anybody else, tell them to kiss your ass and move on.
Powerbomb,
and hey, I don't know this dude that I'm interviewing with, sir.
Yes,
but
sir.
Your fighter into California. Let me tell you something. This dude is going to be big. Invest in this kid. He's going to be big. I don't know him from Adam, but I know what I hear, and I know talent when I hear it. This dude is going to be huge. Don't miss the train.
I got a PayPal, and I tell everybody, give me now while I'm free, because when I blow up, I will change. My good friends of ours over at Powerbomb, they want to tell you they appreciate you for coming on, making it a great show. They say you're one of the best guests we've had on here in a very long time, and come back next week and do it again, is what I was told to tell you.
Hey,
but,
bro, just book me. This was fun.
I appreciate you coming on. You're more than welcome. Anytime you feel the need, if you're on Facebook or on Twitter and someone's bothering you about wrestling and we are on, just call in. You are more than welcome. Scotty Riggs does it all the time. Shout out to Scotty Riggs. That's my man, 100 grand. He calls in all the time. World Warrior Animal and so forth. This is the show they're posted to. But sincerely from my heart, as a huge fan, as you know, you see in the business, a mark of yours. No broke back, but as a huge fan, a huge mark of yours growing up, loving watching wrestling, I really appreciate you coming on tonight, Tony. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you, bro.
And this
appreciate you good fans having me.
If you can just hold one moment, I'll get some station identification from you. 1 second, people, stand on your feet right now, because he said so. He's big, he's black, they want to call him Buck. But that's Ahmed Johnson, Mr. Tony Gibbs. Stand on your damn feet. We'll be right back with Puffy Flex Talk Radio. Stay tuned. Wrestling networks out there, y'all just got your asses kicked by Mike Knox and the crew. They got names: Spotface Bayless, KME the Genius, aka the God, Chad Rivera, the News of News, the Latin Lover, the crew, the chat room, the phone lines. Woo! What an interview, guys! What an interview, KME.
Man,
you are in trouble.
Yeah, I felt uncomfortable listening to that. Man, I was
this
like,
man does not like black people. He said it. I thought it, but now I guess it's true.
Wow.
We've had other guests hint at it, but not actually say it.
No, you have plenty of people dance around it.
Right.
Not that, man. And then
well, they're dancing around about the dancing around that the brothers be doing in that company.
Yeah.
It's
and that's
great.
I'm talking to him off air, and he's just like, he's telling me to, you know, get in contact with him, and he got some contacts for me, and you know what I mean? Hey, you know me. If I'd have hit that $600 million, y'all was coming with me, just so you know. It would have been some MC Hammer stuff going on. We were all going to Sizzler.
Word.
Just saying, where is the Sizzler? If I find one, we all going.
I just appreciate the, you know, the candidness and the realness that he possesses to give such a great interview. You know,
yeah, and I also want to make clear to the listeners, it's not like we're co-signing on everything
no,
he's saying, but he's given an honest account of what he
went through.
Yeah, so and I appreciate that because those are the best types of interviews. Is that type of juiciness, you know?
Well, I thank you, Cammy, for saying that and mentioning that because you know how. Especially when my name's involved, things get taken out of context. So I'm glad you said that. We were not co-signing with everything he said, but enjoying an interview that anybody would enjoy if they were hearing what we heard live. But I finished the show. We got about 20 minutes left. I want to, you know, try to just kind of go through. We'll talk about that off air amongst ourselves as we typically do. Let's get back into the show a little bit right now.
Wait.
Go ahead.
What you missed was how they all agreed that the Shield winning the titles is a downgrade from where they were. Not mainly the tag titles.
Something that somebody said I wanted to get on, so go ahead, keep going. Something I think Chad said or you said with Kofi in mind, maybe I need some cotton swabs. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, it's a downgrade for Dean Ambrose to now go from Taker, Rock, Cena, Ryback, and others to now have to dance with the levels of Zack Ryder
and that's
the big powers of the company.
That's what I heard. And this is where I say, again, you know my favorite things are reality and perception. Damn right in what you're saying. That is reality. The perception, they're trying to give us something different. You know what I mean? They're going to me, this is me. Remember, I'm the biggest mark here. To me, it doesn't do nothing but help the titles. Because, again, they get into the business. You want to say you were a champion. I've never met any wrestler on this program or we met anywhere else to say, yep, I got into the business, never to win a championship. Maybe Mick Foley. Maybe. Because he liked, you know, robbing them arm and barbed wire and all that kind of kooky stuff. But besides that, they get in the business to become a champion. You know what I mean? So that, with that one being that way, but going in, let's take this call from, who was that from 513? 513 and Hugo, please tell them bitches shut up when Mike Knox is talking.
Now
he
wants to
shut up with my boy talking.
513.
Now he wants to curse.
Who, me?
Did y'all hear that?
No.
Y'all hear about
talking
RVD?
About his
y'all
dog.
About RV?
I was talking about his dog,
about
first of all. No, what did RVD do?
He supposed to be coming on Raw.
Is that the Heyman? Is that the Heyman? Is that the other client?
Is that the Heyman guy?
Oh, they're advertising them to be on Raw tonight in Florida.
Guess what? I will say this much. Shots out to the marks of wrestling. Y'all know who they are. Remember the guy that said, damn, I hope I got some wrestling groupies because all that, you know, y'all take more pictures with wrestling than I take with my own family. He had at WrestleCon an interview with RVD. And RVD said, all you other independent shows, please stop sending me inboxes on Facebook and Twitter. You can't afford me. My services is for two companies that can pay RVD what RVD wants. Did he just get his wish? Now, with that being said, 513, I actually spot, I am a huge, when I mean huge RVD fan, who's the reason why I stuck around watching ECW? Now, I will say this much to be a little side note. WWE did their top 20 ECW people of all time. He was number one on that list. Was he number one on that list because he had signed that contract? So with that being said, I'm going to say this with all that accolades being said. The last time I saw RVD in a wrestling ring, he did not impress and had not impressed me.
You know, if
he's
going to WWE, he's going to get in shape. They always do that.
That's all I'm hoping for, KB.
He'll come in a five-star frost splash, some jabroni, and be the Heyman guy. If he's not split-legging, moonsaulting, and being the RVD that was the whole effing show, thumbs at himself,
I don't
need to see that. Maybe he's just coming back to get his singlets back from Ryback. How about that?
I think if he wrestles in WWE, I think. He'll get into the ring shape he needs to get in, which is actually kind of a not even a compliment to Rob Van Dam. I think wherever you go, you should give your maximum effort. But I just see these guys
too small,
many.
Jamie.
What's that?
TNA's ring is way too small. It's like a big
ring.
Yeah,
but I've seen these guys just, you know, be out of shape when they don't want to be somewhere, and then when they get to WWE, they get into – Goldust did it. Goldust was completely out of shape in TNA, and then he got to WWE.
No, I give you – no, not Black Reign. I give you that, Cammy, but he, to me – was out of shape the whole time in TNA. And Spot, you touched on what I'm always, I said, damn, you got this almost half the size of a ring, and he couldn't go coast to coast in that ring. And I would be disappointed in his match. Someone who was, to me, he spawned this from me.
If he's back in WWE, he's getting into shape. I stand by that.
I hope you're right. Hey, yo, if you stand by it, then damn it, I signed my name on it. I'm just saying, I hope so.
I do, too, because, like you said, RVD was must-see TV, and a lot of reasons people still watch ECW. And for him to come back to the, you know, the big W, if he's not in shape, if he's fat VD, then I don't want to see him. If he's heavy VD, then he needs to stay off of programming. I don't, you know, and putting him in such a spot like that to be the Heyman guy, maybe he's not the Heyman guy.
It's Bobby Lashley, damn it.
No. What about black wrestlers? Real fast, we're going to get right up out of here after this segment. We want to bring these guys. We revamped it because we revamped things here because everybody just keeps listening and taking and listening and taking. So the Franchise Five is gone for right now. We're giving you guys the Franchise Forgotten Five. The Forgotten Five. Number one, the Prime Time Players. Number
two, the Usos,
probably the best tag team in wrestling, hands down. Okay, number three, this is for you, Cammy, Kofi Kingston. And number four, number five, my favorite guy, and my fifth favorite guy, Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow. And yes, we have two different tag teams because it's four wrestlers, but yes, they took the tag team titles and forgot about these tag team guys that are right here. That's the Forgotten Five from the Franchise Players. KME, I hear you breathing like one of Khaleesi's dragons. What do you have to say?
No, I'm fine with that list. It's,
okay, because they showed Khaleesi like half naked yesterday on Game of Thrones, and I was really excited. I've been waiting like seven more episodes to see Khaleesi. Okay, sorry.
All right, sorry. Nerd. Let's get back to this question real quick. Like, when we did this Forgotten Five and we came up with the list and we were writing them down, and it's like Cody should be world champion right now, if not Dolph. It could have been Cody. Sandow should be U.S. champion or Intercontinental champion. The Usos, I mean, going off of your testimony about SmackDown and that match they had with their Shield.
Best tag team in wrestling.
They should be the tag team champions. And the Primetime Players, hell, they should be feuding for the tag titles. And this
should be multiple tag champions. They should be multiple tag champions.
And this is what I said going back about the Shield winning these belts. They didn't need it. A belt is supposed to be placed on a guy in this business to propel them to the next level. To put some
power
on them.
No,
I'm telling you this. I'm telling you this from the experience of me being a former tag team wrestler.
Your experience is wrong. You don't get the belt to get to the next level. You get the belt because you're supposed to already be the next level.
No,
I know it doesn't happen all the time, but that's why they get it.
Certain titles are given to you to propel you to superstar.
They have not done that with the IC title in over a effing decade. People, let it go. There is no more workhorse belt. It doesn't exist. The belts are there just to say someone's a champion because it's supposed to be, air quoted, history. The belts don't mean ish. But, however, flipping sides, going back on the side of the fence, to a person in the business, it does matter. If you think another, you think Ziggler, I mean, you think Swagger gives a damn he was champion for, let me rephrase that. You think Christian really gives a ish that he was only a champion for that short period of time. He doesn't care. You're wrong. I know for a fact, without saying something was off the record, he is ecstatic that he had that world title opportunity. I'm sorry, you are 100% wrong, and take my word for that, if you're wrong.
Well, you know what, I take that back because it is Christian, and Christian just wants to be proven that the W cared about him. So they gave him the belt for like 3 weeks.
You're a jackhole.
You really think Zeke,
You really think Zeke got no cuts, give a damn about being the ECW Silver Belt champion? Hell no.
Hey, that was
I don't think anybody cares about winning the U.S. title or the I just don't think that that exists anymore.
I know for a fact you guys are wrong. And I don't
say
it often.
I'm
not going by what people have told me. Again, I cannot go any further. But listen to what I said after I said it. I said, I've never said that to you guys. I've never said fact or fiction to most anything besides my opinion, okay, respect. I'm telling you guys, you're wrong.
I've heard Sid in an interview say that the WWF world title was just extra luggage for him to carry around. So
talking about someone who pooped himself in the ring.
Well, it doesn't matter. You see, this is what you're doing. You're using a kill the messenger type of argument where because he did that in the ring, his opinion doesn't matter. It does matter. He was a world champion, and he said he didn't care about the title.
What I'm saying is that for every PlayStation 3 that's sold, there's four Xbox 360s that are sold. The numbers speak for themselves.
I'm just saying
that is a shot at everybody who thinks PS3 is better than Xbox.
Guys that think that belt is extra luggage. Not all of them, but I know that there's some guys that world title and a WF title, but I know there's some guys that think that carrying that belt is extra luggage, man. It doesn't mean anything to some of those.
I know Eddie Guerrero loved it, but hey, like you said, we can go on all night for that. I got
a wrestling historian, a legend for what it's worth. Like, yeah, he appreciated it because he grew up in the business.
For argument's sake, I'm going to let the subject go because you think you're right, and I know for a fact that I'm right, and I know that there is some validation, some credence to what KME is saying. Yes, there are a few. Like, there's a few people that actually think that Kobe's better than Jordan. That few does not outweigh the many. That's all I'm going to say. But we're going to get up out of here real fast, starting with you, Chad. What are you excited about seeing on Raw tonight? Or for me, 90210 went off the air, so now I'm stuck with watching it for the first hour. So I got to watch it. But, Chad, what are you looking forward to see tonight on wrestling? Is it RVD?
I don't know. I doubt RVD is coming. I don't know. I haven't seen – I don't know if I don't know what he was talking about, but – I don't know what he was talking about because I haven't seen anything like that even rumored. But, you know, maybe he's got some inside source. I don't know. But for me, I don't know. I mean, I guess the fallout to see what kind of new feuds they build, if any. Just kind of see how they build the Shield now with them having the gold, if it's going to amount to anything. But I don't know. For me, it's just kind of – I'm going to be watching it on DVR probably later after. So
I'm not sure
but I'm interested.
I'm trying to think who it was. I think it was Top that put, man, what do I do without my DVR? And you know what? I'm the opposite. My DVR is there in case I fall asleep on stuff. Because I actually watch it if I'm awake, and then if I go to sleep, then I have the DVR. But Hugo, what are you expecting tonight from Raw? Are you excited, unexcited, or just care more about the Blackhawks who are on right now?
You know what I want to see, really? That follow, that instant replay thing. I wonder what they're going to hunt and bring out of that, because that's something that they were trying to tour for a while now. And obviously the Shield. I mean, we could all say we all believe on the Shield, right?
I believe in Jesus Christ more. Yeah, I said it. Equality. Jesus over equality. All day? Every day? My day? No day? All my day off? Don't matter?
This is not Sunday Salvation.
I wasn't preaching. I was doing a poor Kevin Hart impersonation, except for I'm like 4 feet taller than him, so it came off a little deeper.
I can't about the Beyonce commercial right now.
See, that's because you see, KME, whether you believe or you don't believe, him and I believe in that thing called the Naughty, the Illuminati. He said he will sign the contract. I'm telling you the same thing I told him. Don't sacrifice my ass. See, watching that Beyonce, he's getting all mesmerized and stuff. But KME, what are you watching?
Hey.
Is it Raw or is it something else?
Yeah, you know, I always keep it like turned back to Raw, but you know, something else. I'll probably Monday. I'm probably gonna go to the gym. And
KME getting cuts.
KME gonna get some cuts.
Yeah, I don't know. If I have heard the RVD thing, just to kind of validate what Ohio said. I did hear that this past week. I heard rumblings. If that happens, I will definitely be interested. And I always like seeing guys, whether I think they're good or not, I always like seeing guys, you know, go back and forth. You know, I would want to see that. Outside of that, nothing.
Could it be Rhino?
I hope not. Lord knows. I hope
yeah,
not.
Yeah, I love some Rhino. Don't judge me.
Yeah, I'm not. Rhino, to me, will always be a Taz wannabe.
Wow, here we go. But tonight I'm looking forward to taking a nap at probably about the 8:30 to 9:45 time during Raw, you know, as usual. But I am looking forward to see what happens with the John Cena Ryback thing. And more importantly, I want to see what's going to happen with the follow-up to WWE Payback, the corniest pay-per-view name, I believe, in wrestling history.
Well, I don't know.
If they play James Brown as the theme for it, then I'll pull with it.
Exactly.
Tommy would be cool. He wants black equality wherever he can get it, yo. Listen, guys, we're going to get up out of here. Make sure you tune in tomorrow to the new Twitch show live with Jay Chris and the lovely and sexy and vivacious and voluptuous Miss West.
Yes, she is.
At 10 a.m. And then Wednesday, KME is back with Chad Rivera giving you TG Site, the Geek Show, and the Head to Earth. I know they probably got some big things talking about the number one movie in the world, Star Trek, not Iron Man.
Gotta see that, y'all.
I tell you this much, but I didn't tell you about Iron Man. It's good, but that's the Easter one, and that's my own. It's my show. You don't like it?
That was Tony Stark.
Right.
That was Tony Stark.
You don't get up out of here. We got about 3 minutes at the top of the hour, people. Like I always say, and like I say when I say when I mean it for radio. How can you wake up in the morning and say to yourself, "I love me some me," and don't love God? We are now, hence, and forever will be the fastest, rising, most successful network on the internet. If you don't like it.
It's a Saturday, I'm home, sick, chilling, surfing the internet to see what I'm feeling, laying on blog talk, see what they dealing, came across the barbershop, stepped into the building, real life sports talk, real entertainment, might not really keep his ear into the pavement, finger on the pulse of the industry, save it, you don't like the way brag, you ain't gotta say shh. Listen anyway, every Thursday, him and Corey G, tell him what you tripping on any day. Barbershop mixed with talk show, there we go. Give you the best damn show on the radio. $1 million audience meets with your favorite host. $1 million connections, feel the force. Most electric, most eclectic. Listen to the shows where the pros expected. 2 shows a week with an A-class guest list. The best damn show on the radio. Check this.
The best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show in radio.
King Kong, Loch Ness, Goblin, Ghoul, a zombie with no conscience. Question, what do these things all have in common? Everybody knows I'm a motherfucking monster.
I was gonna rip his heart out, I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Link to the Conqueror, no, I'm Alexander, he's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston, I'm Jack Dempsey, there's no one like me. I'm from their cloth.
Some people are talented. And some people are gifted. I'm God gifted.
What's wrong with y'all? Y'all play like some little girls. Y'all like y'all never played football before.
These guys are nothing.
You hear me?
They bleed us like we do. They sweat us like we do.
Do you hear me?
They went through 2 days. We went through 2 days in 110 degree heat. I want you to hit everything to move. If the ref gets in your way, you hit him.
Okay, then. Let's play.
But that's beating us too. That gives us too. This is our team. This is us. Let's go right now. Let's get it up.